And Jeff and Liz Muller are now going to read to us from God's Word, first from Luke 22, and then from the letter to the Hebrews.
The first reading is taken from Luke chapter 22, verses 24 to 27. An argument broke out among the disciples as to which one of them should be thought of as the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the pagans have power over the people, and the rulers claim the title friends of the people. But this is not the way it is with you. Rather, the greatest among you must be like the youngest, and the leader must be like the servant. Who is greater, the one who sits down to eat or the one who serves? The one who sits down, of course. But I am among you as one who serves."
The second reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 25 on page 281. And then moving on to chapter 13. "We have then, my brothers and sisters, complete freedom to go into the most holy place by means of the death of Jesus. He opened for us a new way, a living way, through the curtain, that is, through his own body. We have a great priest in charge of the house of God. So let us come near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith, with hearts that have been purified from a guilty conscience, and with bodies washed with clean water. Let us hold on firmly to the hope we profess, because we can trust God to keep his promise. Let us be concerned for one another, to help one another to show love and to do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more, since you see that the day of the Lord is coming nearer." And then over the page, chapter 13, verse 5. "Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, 'I will never leave you, I will never abandon you.' Let us be bold then and say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?' Remember your former leaders who spoke God's message to you. Think back on how they lived and died and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And over the page, verse 17. "Obey your leaders and follow their orders. They watch over your souls without resting, since they must give God an account of their service. If you obey them, they will do their work gladly. If not, they will do it with sadness, and that would be of no help to you." This is the word of the Lord.
So let's pray that God will speak to us. Psalmist said, "Your word is a lamp to guide me and a light for my path." As we focus upon your word this morning, give us direction for living. In Jesus' name, amen. Hands up if you live life constantly on an even keel. No? Are you like me? You have ups and downs. Maybe some of us have more downs than ups. Goodness knows. Life can be tough. Very tough. But what a difference it makes when in those tough times somebody speaks to us a positive word of encouragement. Listen to the wisdom of three American authors. John Maxwell, a leadership guru, wrote, "Remember, man does not live on bread alone. Sometimes he needs a little buttering up." William Ward, reflecting on a lifetime of pastoring a church, wrote, "Flatter me, and I will not believe you. Criticize me, and I may not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you. But encourage me, and I will not forget you." Or William James, a noted psychologist, once said, "The deepest principle in human nature is the craving to be appreciated." Yes, we all need encouragement. We all need appreciation. Or as the Americans put it, we all need to be stroked. Now, the letter to the Hebrews was written with the purpose of encouragement. It was written with the purpose of encouraging a group of Christians who were on the verge of giving up. Living in a world that was hostile to the Christian faith, some of them had almost had enough. And that was the context in which the author wrote, "Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there, in the place of honor, right alongside God. And when you find yourself flagging in your faith, when you really feel down, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls." I love the way that Peterson puts this in his paraphrase. And he's saying here that Jesus is our ultimate role model. He is the ultimate source of encouragement when life gets tough. But there are times when we need the human touch, when we need Jesus, as it were, to reach out to us through another. And as we come toward the end of our Looking for Love course, I want us to look at three specific ways in which we can encourage others, in which we can bring God's touch into people's lives. First of all, let us encourage one another. And I'm looking at some of the verses in Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 13. In the first instance, we need to encourage one another. As the writer puts it, let's be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. Let's not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more, since you see that the day of the Lord is coming nearer. Let's just focus for a moment on those verses. Let us be concerned for one another. Actually, it doesn't quite do justice to what the writer is saying, because he uses a particular verb which means to direct the mind and reflect upon. New Revised Standard Version speaks of considering. The readers of this letter are being encouraged to focus their minds and energies on how they might be supportive to others. Goodness, have you ever sat down during the week and thought what might be the needs of others in your home group, and how you might be able to help them grow and develop in the Christian faith? Because that is what is in mind, something which is very purposeful. And the author to the Hebrews gives three illustrations of what this concern for one another might involve. First of all, he says, provoke one another. Well, actually, the Good News Bible translates, help one another to show love and to do good. But that's not strong enough. In the words of the New Revised Standard Version, we are to provoke one another. As the Revised English Bible puts it, we ought to see how each of us may best arouse others to love and active goodness. Here, incidentally, is a reminder that there is no such thing as a private Christian. Yes, our faith is personal, but our faith can never remain personal. Our brothers and sisters in Christ have a right and a duty to involve themselves in our lives, just as we have a right and a duty to involve themselves in their lives. We are not to mind our own business. Have you thought of that? You have a duty to provoke your brother or sister to love and to goodness. The second way of encouraging one another is to meet with one another. Let's not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. That always draws a smile to my face. Even right at the beginning, church attendance could become a little slack. But the fact is that we miss out on church to our detriment. To withdraw from Sunday worship, as indeed to withdraw from midweek home groups, is to deprive ourselves. But, and this is the point here in this context, it's not simply to deprive ourselves, it is to deprive others. Yes, have you thought of that? Not to go to church, not to go to your home group, actually affects others. The church is the weaker if you're not there. The writer is saying, as it were, show your concern for others by going to church. Think of the good your going to church will do to others. So for the sake of others, if not your own, don't give up on meeting together. And thirdly, let's encourage one another all the more since you see the day of the Lord is coming nearer. Or as Peterson puts it, we are to spur one another on in the Christian life. And incidentally, this encouraging of one another, this spurring of one another on in the Christian life, is not just telling people that we love them or that we care for them, but rather reminding them that God loves them and that God cares for them. We're called to remind one another that however tough life may be, there is a new world coming. As the writer puts it, the day of the Lord is coming nearer. And on that day, there will be no more death, no more grief, no more pain. Yes, all the trials and tribulations, all the stresses and strains of this life will be over. Instead, we shall be forever with the Lord. So the first challenge I would put to you is this. Let us see how we can encourage one another, and not least, how we can encourage one another in our home groups. Secondly, this gets a little personal. Let us encourage our leaders. Yes, believe it or not, leaders are human. They too bleed. They too need encouragement. Now, next Wednesday, the Looking for Love course focuses on honouring and respecting leaders. And one of the verses for the day comes from 1 Thessalonians 5, where Paul writes, "We beg you, our brothers and sisters, to pay proper respect to those who work among you, who guide and instruct you in the Christian life. Treat them with the greatest respect and love because of the work they do." In other words, Paul is saying, encourage your leaders. Now, one of my buddies is a guy called Nick Mercer. He's the biggest name dropper I've ever met. But he's still a nice guy in spite of all that. He, together with his friend Steve Gork-Roger, brought together a collection of advice in a book entitled Double Cream. Listen to this advice. It may be that you don't like your church's minister. Well, here is a tested prescription by which you can get rid of him or her. First of all, look at him straight in the eye when he's preaching, and maybe say amen occasionally. He'll preach himself to death in a short time. Secondly, start paying him whatever he's worth. Having been on starvation wages for years, he'll promptly eat himself to death. Thirdly, shake hands with him and tell him that he's doing a good job. He'll work himself to death. Fourthly, rededicate your own life to God and ask the minister to give you some church work to do. And fifthly, if all else fails, this one is certain to succeed. Get your congregation to unite in prayer for him after the morning service, and soon he'll be so effective that some larger church will take him off your hands. I smiled when I read this. And yet the reality is there's a degree of edge here as well. Because the reality is that leaders, ministers, often lack encouragement. Do you know, I have a file in my filing cabinet downstairs entitled Encouragement. And I stick every letter, card, or email of appreciation into it. I kid you not, it's not a very large file. Sometimes Martin, Lisa, and I will comment that on a Sunday we can preach our hearts out, but hardly anybody seems to notice. If you get one thank you at the door, you're doing well. If you get five thank yous, well, that's a red letter day. So how can we encourage leaders? Well, strange enough, Hebrews 13 offers two suggestions. First of all, tell the preacher when God has spoken to you through their preaching. Remember your leaders who spoke God's message to you. I looked up a website which listed ways in which church members could encourage their pastors. And the very first suggestion was this: let your pastor know specifically how you learned from his sermon. Gosh, that's American bad grammar. According to the so-called jolly blogger, "Nice sermon, pastor, and you're a good pastor, are wonderful to hear. But what we really want to hear is that you're growing in your walk with Christ." Well, secondly, Hebrews 13:17 suggests that another way of encouraging one's pastor, or indeed the leaders in the church, is to respond positively to the lead they may offer. Listen, obey your leaders and follow their orders. They watch over your souls without resting, since they must give God an account of their service. If you obey them, they'll do their work gladly. If not, they'll do it with sadness, and that would be of no help to you. Goodness, the phrase, obey your leaders, hits us between the eyes. It is actually a bit strong. The underlying Greek verb doesn't imply unthinking obedience, but rather an openness to reasoned persuasion. So Peterson adopts the following paraphrase: be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They're alert to the condition of your lives and work under the strict supervision of God. Contribute to the joy of their leadership, not its drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them? If I'm honest, I have to thank God for the many times in which this church has been so supportive of the lead that I've sought to offer. And in that respect, you have greatly encouraged me. But these are not the only ways in which you might encourage your leaders. At this point, let me go back to the website rather than to Hebrews 13, where there are five further suggestions. I wonder what you think of them. Martin, I can see, is sitting on his seat wondering what they might be. First of all, help your pastor have a date night with his wife. Give him a gift certificate to their favorite restaurant. Ooh. Secondly, confront one of the pastor's perpetual critics. It's not the critics who bother him, as do the members who are unwilling and are fearful of standing up to the critics. Thirdly, give him a book he would love to have. Fourthly, speak publicly on behalf of the pastor. And fifthly, pray for your pastor. In one of the churches I served, says this blog, someone organized an intercessory prayer team on my behalf. Each member of the nearly 100 church members committed to pray for me at a specific time of day for 5 minutes. Well, there we are. That's the second challenge of the day. Encourage not just one another, encourage your leaders. Thirdly, let's encourage future leaders. Has it ever occurred to you how much we owe to Barnabas? Did you realize that we owe the Apostle Paul to Barnabas. It was Barnabas who was responsible for spotting Paul's potential and then mentoring him. And Luke tells us that the name Barnabas actually means the son of encouragement. That is to say, one who encourages. And Barnabas lived up to his name. Now, what I want to say at this point is that we too need to be encouragers in the sense of those who spot potential and encourage not least younger people to step up to the plate. Now, next week, we begin the process of electing new deacons. The word deacon literally means a servant. And in the Baptist church, the role of deacon is to serve the church by offering leadership. As you may know, three of our present deacons are standing down after 6 years of service and are therefore not eligible for re-election. And in addition, we have two other vacancies. In other words, we can elect up to five new deacons, five new leaders. But what are the qualities which deacons need? Some people think that it's enough for a deacon to be likable. Well, that's certainly desirable, but that isn't the essence of being a deacon. On the basis of Hebrews 13, 7 and 17, I suggest we need to look for people with the following five qualities. First of all, it sounds quite self-evident, but it isn't always. They need to be men and women with leadership potential. Remember your leaders. Be responsive to your leaders. Now, not everybody is a leader. It's been estimated that only some 5% of people have leadership qualities. Interestingly, in some experiments concerned with the effect of overcrowding among rats, a certain Dr. John Kaloon of the US National Institute of Mental Health discovered that the dominant rats numbered 5% of the total. You see the application to leadership in the church, don't you? We are looking for leaders and not just for table fodder. Secondly, they need to be spiritual men and women whose lives are rooted in God's word. Hebrews 13:7, remember your former leaders who spoke God's message to you, or literally, who spoke God's word to you. And the reference here is not just to preachers. For God's word can be spoken within the context of a small group or within a one-to-one conversation. To speak God's word is to apply principles from God's word to the life of the church. We're looking for men and women with spiritual discernment. Thirdly, they need to be men and women of integrity. Verse 7 again of Hebrews 13. Think back on how they lived and died. They didn't simply speak God's word, they also lived out God's word. In other words, their lives match the message. And it's because our lives are so important that Paul, in his lists of qualifications for church leaders in 1 Timothy and Titus, says nothing about gifting, but everything about character. Future leaders, for instance, need to be wholehearted in their commitment, positive in their attitude to others, people who open their homes to others. Fourthly, they need to be men and women of bold faith. Imitate their faith. And you'll know that in Hebrews, that faith is always faith that is put into action. Think of Hebrews 11, the great list of heroes of the faith, men and women who did something because they were men and women of faith. Dare I say it, I believe that deacons should have something in common with the SAS. Who dares wins. We don't want milk and water deacons. Fifthly, they need to be men and women with a concern for others.
Hebrews 13:17. They watch over your souls without resting. As another translation puts it, they are tireless in their concern for others. They may not be members of the pastoral team, but nonetheless, they are concerned not just for the big picture, but also for individuals. So here's a third challenge of the day. Encourage future leaders. But please don't rush into this business of encouraging any old Tom, Dick and Harry. You need time to think, time to pray. Nobody should lightly accept nomination. And when you have a chance to read Team Talk after the morning service, you'll see that I'm suggesting that people considering making or accepting nominations should consult with the ministers of the church, as together we seek to discern who God would have lead us in this church. So, in summary, the theme of today's sermon is true love encourages one another. Let's rise to the challenge of encouraging one another, encouraging perhaps the leaders of the church, and certainly encouraging future leaders of the church. Let us pray. O God, our Father, if we are truly honest with ourselves, all too often we are self-centered. And we do not find it sometimes easy to focus on considering the needs and the feelings of others. O God, as your Spirit works in our hearts and lives, we pray that this selfish gene may be bashed away, as it were, and in its place, there may develop and grow that loving spirit truly concerned for others. Lord, we pray that you will help us to find ways and means of encouraging one another, not least as we meet together in our home groups. Help us, too, to encourage all those who seek to serve you. And when we come down to thinking about new deacons, oh God, help us to be able to spot potential and to encourage those you would have us encourage to step up to the plate of leadership. In Jesus' name, we make our prayers. Amen.